Bismillah, praise be to Allah, the Lord of the worlds, the creator of all the creations. We ask Allah to raise the rank of our beloved Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and the kind Al and companions. And we ask Allah to increase our knowledge and to protect us from insincerity. The scholars of Islam agreed that there are several matters in the religion that are considered as enormous sins. And these righteous scholars agreed that the sins are subdivided into two types, enormous sins and small sins. Allah Ta'ala said in Surah An-Nisa, Ayah 31, إِن تَجْتَنِبُوا كَبَائِرَ مَا تُنْهَوْنَ عَنْهُ نُكَفِّرْ عَنْكُمْ سَيِّئَاتِكُمْ وَنُدْخِلْكُمْ مُدْخَلًا كَرِيمًا. And Allah said in Surah An-Najm, الَّذِينَ يَجْتَنِبُونَ كَبَائِرَ الْإِثْمِ وَالْفَوَاحِشَ إِلَّا اللَّمَمْ إِنَّ رَبَّكَ وَاسِعُ الْمَغْفِرَةِ. These verses mean that Allah forgives those who commit some small sins but avoid committing enormous sins, as long as they do not insist on committing these small sins to the point that their sins exceed their rewards, hasanat. These verses I mentioned make it clear that sins are of two types. Likewise, Muslim narrated from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a sahih hadith that clearly subdivides the sins into two types: enormous, large sins and small sins. The Prophet said, As-salawatu al-khamsu wal-jumu'atu ila al-jumu'ati wa ramadanu ila ramadana mukaffiratun ma baynahunna idha jitanaba al-kabair. The aforementioned hadith means performing the five prayers, praying the Friday prayer after having prayed the previous Friday prayer, and fasting Ramadan after having fasted the previous Ramadan, erase the small sins committed in between them, but not the enormous ones. No specific number for the enormous sins was ever narrated in any sahih hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Abdul Razzaq narrated in his book of interpretation from Ma'mar, from Ibn Tawus, from his father, that Ibn Abbas was asked, what is the number of enormous sins? Are they seven? Ibn Abbas answered, they are closer to 70 than to seven. So the scholars, they mentioned, they defined the enormous sin in several ways, in several terms. Among the best expressions in defining the enormous large sin is, every sin is an enormous sin when described in the Quran, the hadith of the Prophet, or by consensus that it is enormous, or that it entails a severe punishment in the hereafter, or that the one who does it is punished by a specified punishment in the revealed texts, had, or that the one who does it is very blameworthy. Now we're talking about the sins that a Muslim might commit. We're not talking about the blasphemy. For information about blasphemy types and about ridda kufr, please refer to our previous lessons regarding that. Today we are talking about the enormous sins. A difference between the enormous sin and the small sin is that if one commits a small sin, it is erased if afterwards one does a good deed. So if a person does a small sin and then after it he does a good deed, that good deed removes and erases that bad sin. However, as for the enormous sin, doing a good deed after it does not necessarily erase it. For example, if one commits a small sin and afterwards makes a verbal remembering of God, Allah, dhikr, he makes dhikr to Allah, tasbih, then this good deed erases that sin. Sometimes doing a good deed erases an enormous sin. However, many times it is not erased until one makes tawbah, makes proper repentance, repents of that sin. Now, the severe torture for the one who disobeys Allah Ta'ala is mentioned clearly in the Quran, but also Allah mentions that He is very forgiving and very merciful. But that does not mean it is justified for a person to commit any of the small sins or the large sins. So we will mention some of the enormous sins in the order mentioned by the scholars. And the order that we're going to mention is mentioned by one of the great hafiz, Imam As-Suyuti, rahimahullah. He said that the following are considered as the enormous sins in order. The first one is killing. Second one is adultery and fornication, which is zina. And the third one is drinking wine or any intoxicating liquid. Then sorcery. Then accusing unjustly someone with zina. Then sodomy. Then invalidating the obligatory fast, siyam. Also to despair of Allah's mercy. Also among the large sins is to continue committing sins and feeling safe from the punishment of Allah. Also to take the belongings of others by force. Then stealing. Then to give a false testimony. To bribe. To pimp. To withhold paying the fard obligatory due zakah. To facilitate committing zina for one's wife or female family members. Wal'iyadhu billah. To run away from the battlefield. To betray in measuring. To address one's wife with the words of zihar. And those terms need to be explained. Not only this term of zihar, also all of these enormous sins, one must acquire the knowledge to know the rulings regarding them. Also among the large sins, as Imam As-Suyuti mentioned, is tale-bearing and to withhold one's obligatory testimony and to swear by Allah when lying or to lie about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam or to cuss the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam or to hit a Muslim or to incite the ruler to inflict harm on a Muslim or to harm one's parents severely or to shun the obligatory kinship or the waylaying or to pray before the prayer time is in or to delay the prayer inexcusably without an excuse until after its time is out or to consume the money of the orphans or to eat pig or maita, that is the animal that's not killed Islamically or properly according to the Islamic Sharia, or to engage in the usurious gain, which is riba, or to take for oneself a part of the spoils of battle before they are distributed in the proper way, which is called ghulul, or to insist on committing small sins until they exceed one's rewards. So for example, a small sin would be such as for the woman not to wear hijab. But it's not considered as an enormous sin unless those small sins that the person commits are more than that person's rewards or good deeds. Those were 35 large sins that were mentioned. Also among the enormous sins are to neglect and leave out the obligatory knowledge, learning the obligatory knowledge, even if that person is apparently praying, fasting, and the like. Also, it's sinful among the large sins for men and women to imitate one another in what is specific for the other gender, such as in clothes or the like. Also among the large sins is for the wife to go out of her husband's house without his permission. If it's his house and she leaves without his permission, it's considered forbidden in Islam. Also among the large sins is for the wife to harm her husband unlawfully by asking him to divorce her without an excuse, without an Islamic excuse, and to pluck the eyebrows hair to make them thinner like non-Muslims and blasphemers do, or to tattoo, or to connect the human hair with other human hair, or to have sexual intercourse with the menstruating woman. And as we mentioned, killing is considered the largest of the sins in Islam after the worst type of sin, which is blasphemy. Blasphemy renders the person a non-Muslim. If someone commits ridda or blasphemy, he is no longer considered as a believer. He must leave the blasphemy, repent by embracing Islam, by returning to al-Islam, by saying the shahadatayn. And blasphemy is categorized into three categories: blasphemous beliefs in the heart, blasphemous sayings by the tongue, and blasphemous doings. Examples: blasphemous sayings would be such as cussing Allah or cussing the prophets or the angels, even if the person was angry. Blasphemous doings is like throwing the Quran in disrespected places such as trash, or stepping on it, or while knowing, or prostrating to an idol or to the sun. Also, blasphemous beliefs is to believe that Allah is sitting on the throne, or that Allah is a body, or that Allah has a size or image or volume. All of these things are considered ridda, blasphemous. Allah exists without being in a place and without being a body, and He is not volumistic. He is neither body like the light or the air or the soul, nor hard body like tangible body like the humans or the rock or the trees. Allah is neither a soft body nor a thick body. Allah is not a body. He is the one who created the bodies and the images, and He does not need anything, and He exists without a beginning and without a place, as the Prophet said in the hadith narrated by Al-Bukhari, كَانَ اللَّهُ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ شَيْءٌ غَيْرُهُ. And as Imam Ali radiallahu anhu said, Allah existed eternally and there was nothing, and He created the place, and He still exists without a place. And for whoever committed any of those sins, we ask them and we urge them to repent immediately, to ask Allah to forgive them from any of these sins that we mentioned. As for the blasphemy, saying Astaghfirullah or saying, oh God, forgive me, after one committed blasphemy is not tawbah or repentance. They have to repent by entering al-Islam, by leaving the blasphemy and saying the testifications shahadatayn. As for the one who commits those large sins that we mentioned, the enormous sins such as killing, adultery, and the like, the way to repent from them is by asking Allah to forgive you, and by sincerely leaving the sin. The tawbah, the repentance of that sin, is of course obligatory right away upon the accountable person. And it is done by regretting doing that act, quitting that act, that sin, and intending not to return to those sins. This is the general definition of tawbah or repentance. Now, if their sin is leaving out an obligation, then one must make it up. If, for example, a person missed an obligatory prayer or missed fasting an obligatory day of Ramadan, then that person cannot just say, oh God, forgive me, and that's it. He has to make up that missed prayer to complete his tawbah, and to hope that God accepted his repentance. Now, if the sin involves a right to a human, one must satisfy it or seek that person's satisfaction. Allah praised the believers in the Quran for repenting a true repentance. Allah Ta'ala said in Surah At-Tahrim, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا تُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ تَوْبَةً نَصُوحًا. This verse means, O believers, repent to Allah a sincere repentance. And the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, literally, النَّدَمُ تَوْبَةً, which literally means repenting is to regret, which means to leave out the sin and wish that you never did it. And also the Prophet said in the hadith, let one now satisfy one's Muslim brother whom one treated unjustly before the day of judgment comes, because on that day one cannot satisfy him either by dirhams or by dinars. Money will not help on that day. So the person, even if you broke someone's heart by looking with a frown to them, ask them to forgive you and ask Allah to forgive you and avoid such sins. And if you have committed any of the enormous sins, rush to ask God to forgive you. Allah is very forgiving. The Prophet, peace be upon him, said, At-ta'ibu min al-dhanbi kaman la dhanba lahu, which means The one who truly repents from his sins is like the one who has no sins. So Allah is very forgiving and very merciful. So dear brothers and sisters, remember that this life is temporary. It's a trial. And look at the time, how it's lapsing, passing by quickly. What are you waiting for? We all are going to end up underground in the graves. And that is the time when the presentation of the deeds will be after. We ask Allah to forgive our sins, to accept our good deeds, and we ask Allah Ta'ala to enable us to acquire the Islamic knowledge and to implement it, and Allah knows best.